Time now for the basic fiqh program with Mufti Zubair Bayat, Hafidhahullah, and a very interesting discussion taking place, the fiqh of rings. Last week we started off, and just to bring into perspective, we started off the discussion by asking the question that can one wear rings or not? And Mufti Saab shared two views. One was it's only allowed for rulers and people in official position. And the second view was that anyone can wear. Then we looked at the question that is it sunnah to wear a ring or not, and Mufti Saab shared the four madhahib. Imam Abu Hanifa is of the opinion that it is only for the rulers. It is sunnah for them to wear. Imam Malik is of the opinion that if it is done with the intention of following the sunnah, then it is allowed. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says it's permissible, but not preferable. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says that it is sunnah for both, that is the ruling class as well as the subjects. Then we looked at a very interesting question, that which hand should you wear your ring? And we find both types of narrations, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes wore it on the right and sometimes on the left. However, Aimma al-Thalatha, that is the three imams, are of the opinion that it is sunnah to wear it on the left hand. Imam Shafi is of the opinion that he should wear it on the right hand. And then lastly, we also discussed that which finger you should wear it. According to one narration, it's the little finger of the left hand. And another narration is the index finger. So, the index finger, and the other narration is the little finger of the left hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also prohibited people from wearing the ring in the middle finger and the one next to it. Then lastly, we discussed the types of rings. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore only silver ring. It had a stone on it which had Allah, Rasul and Muhammad engraved on it. And men are only allowed to wear silver rings. Women are allowed to wear both. And then we also looked at the fact that can you wear fake or imitation jewelry, and two views are given. One is you can't and one is you can. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana Habib, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Saab, I just thought I'll share a quick recap before people start wondering what's happening.
No, jazakumullah khair for that, Mawlana. I think it was very good to do the recap of the program so that we can refresh what was discussed, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. We can move on with the same discussion, and perhaps we can start off with the weight. If I remember correctly, that's where we ended off.
Yes, inshallah, we will do that. But Mawlana, I want to first of all say that please accept my apologies. I was not able to be present there at Jummah when you came to our Masjid al-Taqwa on Friday. There was another request from one of the masjids nearby. So I had to leave and I had to do Jummah elsewhere. Mm. I hope all went well, Mawlana.
Ji, alhamdulillah. A very nice practice you've got there, Mufti Saab, khajurs after Jummah.
Alhamdulillah, yes, one of our brothers, mashallah.
Mufti Saab, looks like we've lost the line there. We're going to try to get Mufti Zubair Bayat back on the program. Yeah, so after Jummah, what happens is that they give out khajurs, and not just cheap ones, just nice, moderate ones, mashallah. And those khajurs are given out to all the musallis that frequent the masjid. And mashallah, everybody does take part from that. So it's an interesting thing that takes place at Masjid al-Taqwa. So I said, let me ask Mufti Saab about that. Do we have Mufti Saab online? Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum.
Ji, as I was mentioning, alhamdulillah, oh brother, Allah has given him a very generous heart. And every Friday, alhamdulillah, for years, Mawlana, I think almost from the time of the inception of the masjid, this brother has been giving out khajur generously to all the musallis of Masjid al-Taqwa after Jummah, every week.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Mufti Saab, we can continue with our discussion, inshallah.
So I hope you were comfortable, Mawlana.
And also another point of maybe we can talk about this, Mufti Saab, is I see you've prepared a card for the visitor, and on that card you got some valuable information, like we welcome you, and then you give the Jummah structure, and then you also mention what time the speaker should end. Uska koi shaan-e-nuzul hoga.
No, Maulana, the only reason why we have prepared this little card for the guest speaker is just to explain the sequence, because the sequence in different masjids is different, and sometimes it can become confusing for a speaker because you don't exactly know. For example, the masjid I went to, I was not sure when to complete the bayan, so I actually stopped in between and I asked the musallis that, please inform me when is the time the program ends. And it was surprising that they didn't really know, so they told me carry on. So I actually carried on for a while, then I realized that no, this is going to get quite late, so I stopped then. So if we have a stipulated time and a little explanation of the fact that azan will be called out, then immediately bayan starts, because some masjids they give time for sunnah first, and then it's the time for the sunnah, and then the khutbah. You see, our area, Maulana, is where we have a lot of musallis working around in this industrial area and factories close by. There's a lot of factories and industries nearby, so a lot of them are working class people, and obviously they get very limited time off for Jumu'ah. So this is the reason why we try to be very strict on our timing, so that we do not inconvenience our musallis at all, you know.
Very interesting idea.
Yeah, that is the reason why, because sometimes what happens is that information may not be communicated very clearly, you know, if it's conveyed by some member of the public or even a trustee, maybe some bit gets missed out. So we prepared this little card, and that sort of will give our guest speakers a clear direction what happens and so on. I hope you're not intimidated by that in any
way. No, alhamdulillah, I finished on time, actually 2 minutes before the allotted time. At 53, everything was done.
MashaAllah. May Allah reward you, Maulana.
MashaAllah. Mufti Sahib, we may continue with our discussion.
Okay, Maulana, so now let us discuss randomly, inshallah, I will touch upon a few things relating to the ring. I think the main issues that needed to be discussed, alhamdulillah, we had covered that discussion. Just to clarify the part about the finger, the prohibition actually applies to the first two fingers, that is, the middle finger and the index finger.
Okay.
It applies to those. I think I myself wasn't so clear earlier on in our earlier discussion, but the prohibition, according to the narration of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih Muslim, it applies to the middle finger and the index finger. So those are the two fingers on which we should not wear the ring. And the small finger, that is the ring, finger on which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore the ring, and the finger next to that also is allowed. It is permitted. In one narration it comes that even that finger one can wear the ring on. So the two small fingers, the last two fingers of the five fingers, those fingers one can put on a ring on those two fingers. I think general tradition and custom is also, I think, to wear it on the third finger, if I'm not mistaken, Maulana.
Gee.
Right. So as far as the fingers is concerned, we've cleared that aspect out. As far as the weight is concerned, now there we find the narration that it states that the weight for males is important. For the males, they are only allowed to wear, of course, rings of silver. They're not allowed to wear a ring made of anything else other than silver. White gold is not allowed, because obviously white gold is, in essence, it is gold. Just that, you know, it probably has some kind of a plating of some sort over it that it doesn't appear to be gold. It may even look silverish, but it's not silver. So it won't be permitted to wear a ring of white gold. As far as the silver ring is concerned, the weight should not exceed one mithqal. this is narrated in the narration of Abu Dawood, that it should not exceed the weight of one misqal. And one misqal has been calculated at 4.365 grams, according to some calculations. Some say, okay, 4.7. So there is a little difference about the exact measure of a misqal, but it's in the region of, it's a little above 4 grams and definitely below 5 grams. So about 4.5 grams in weight, that would be in order. But to wear anything that is heavier than that will not be allowed. So these are the rules and regulations of our deen, which apply across the board to all aspects of our life. Hmm. A person cannot say, well, look, you know what, Islam is just that you must read your 5 daily salah and fast in Ramadan and pay your zakat and go for hajj, and that is the be-all and end-all of Islam. No. Islam applies to every aspect. Our facial hair, our hair of our head, our clothing that we wear, our appearance, the adornment that we adopt, all of these things, they are clear-cut Islamic rules regarding these. We cannot just conduct ourselves anyway and say, well, you know, I'm doing my 5 daily salah, so that is sufficient. These are all the rules and regulations of Islam, and they have to be upheld. We find a lot of people, unfortunately, due to generally out of ignorance and sometimes out of defiance, they go against these laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find these days men wearing jewelry, which is a feminine thing, but they become so effeminate that they start wearing chains and bangles and earrings. To Allah, we will call a complete, disfiguring of the human, of the male. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him his masculine features. These things don't fit in with the masculine features. They don't fit in with masculine features. In fact, it actually spoils the natural masculine appearance of a male. They're only befitting for females. But unfortunately, males are wearing chains, they're wearing bangles, they're wearing gold rings and other kind of rings, platinum rings, and a whole lot of things that are prohibited. Earrings, even now we find piercing all over. And not to talk about outlandish hairstyles, Maulana. So this is all because of ignorance. Either people don't know. I think in our makatib, in the curriculum and syllabus, even from the younger ages, it may be there in the latter ages, but the younger ages too, one chapter should be brought on these aspects of what is known as al-hazr wal-ibaha. Al-Hazr wal-Ibaha is the chapter on permissible and non-permissible things in the Sharia. So basic things like, you know, use of gold, silver, rings, hairstyle, customs, things like that. Even a short explanation we should give to our children at that young age so they know what is right and they know what is wrong. After that, if they do wrong, at least they know that we are doing wrong. They'll make tawbah one day and they will repent. But if a person doesn't know I'm doing wrong, then why will he repent? Right? So this is that was as far as the weight of the gold is concerned, the weight of the ring is concerned. Then as far as the issue of the types of rings are concerned, for males, only a silver ring is allowed. Rings that are made from other than silver, impermissible. A ring that is made of stone, metal, brass, platinum, palladium, whatever other new types of metals are going to be used in the future as well. Plastic, perspex, whatever. There's different you know, materials are used today to manufacture these items. So whatever it is, as long as it is other than silver, it will not be allowed. The reason it has been mentioned in the books of fiqh and jurisprudence that it's haram to wear it because of a narration of Sayyidina Imran bin Hussein and Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Both of them relate that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the wearing of gold rings. And also, a person came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wearing a ring that was made of brass. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What is it that I smell the odor of idols coming from you?" And so he got rid of the ring. Then he came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wearing a ring made of iron. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What is it that I find on you? The adornment of the people of Jahannam." So he got rid of that. Then he came to ask, "Ya Nabi Allah, what kind of ring am I allowed to wear?" And that is when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that make it from silver and it must be less than one misqal. So from this riwayat, this narration of hadith, that jurists have drawn the ruling that it will be haram to wear a ring that is made of anything other than silver. All other metals and substances and materials are not allowed, and that it should not exceed one misqal, which we explained is between 4 and 5 grams. About 4.37 and 4.7 according to some other calculations. So that is as far as the aspect of the basis why it is prohibited. Regarding the ring of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mentioned that the ring of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam had inscribed on it Muhammad Rasul Allah. Or from the reading from the bottom upwards. And reading from the top, it was Allah Rasul Muhammad. And that was a ring that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use for, as a stamp, official stamp. That ring, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed it on then to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu then passed it on to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then passed it on to Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In one occasion, when Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sitting at the well of Aris, which is a well just outside Masjid Quba. Today we will find there's a big fountain feature there, where the well of Arish used to be. So Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was turning the ring around on his finger, and while he was doing that, it suddenly fell out of his hand into the well. And Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu did an intense search to find that ring. For 3 days continuously they were hunting and hunting and hunting for the ring. And they could not find it. Eventually they removed all the water of the well, completely. And even so they could not find it. That ring had disappeared completely. Allah in His knowledge knows where exactly the ring went to, but that ring had disappeared. This is per the riwayat of Bukhari, as it is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. That ring of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, finally it disappeared, and the ulama say that actually then it was after that the various doors of fitna opened up, because that thing of blessing and barakah that was with Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu disappeared by the hukam and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously this cannot happen by any other way other than the hukam and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Usman looked very hard, and despite that he could not find it. Now, as far as the stone of the jewelry is concerned, it can be made of silver itself, as we find in the case of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it had a stone of silver. When we refer to the stone, we mean, you know, like a kind of a, you know, what would be in place of a stone, a precious stone. And it, you could have any other precious stone there as well in the ring. For example, a person could have, you know, these various types of precious stones or semi-precious stones, like agate, or which is known as apik in Arabic, or some sapphire or ruby or diamond or pearl or whatever. These emeralds, jade, these all would be allowed. But the Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to wear the stone on the inside of the ring, not on the outside. So it's very important to bear this in mind, that Nabi Akram Sallallahu did not wear the stone facing outward. He wore the stone facing inward. So in this way, the stone would not be exposed to the people, but it used to be worn on the inside. And in his case, the stone was actually made of silver itself with the emblem or the insignia of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam embossed on it. Right. As far as one, I think one very interesting one, Maulana, is regarding engagement rings and wedding rings.
Gee.
Perhaps we should discuss that.
We should, Mufti Saab.
Yes. Okay, I know on the lighter note, the story of which you mentioned also last week, engagement ring, wedding ring, and then suffer ring. But that's on a lighter note. The question is whether it is allowed to have an engagement ring. First of all, if it is being done in emulation of Christian traditions and so on, then this is not the way of the Muslims. Secondly, if there's some kind of significance attached to it, that well, this is to show something or is to signify something, that also is not allowed. And thirdly, if on that occasion, the so-called engagement, the boy is going to put the ring on the girl's finger, then in fact that is haram. It is haram for him to touch any part of her body before nikah. How could it be permissible for him to put the engagement ring on her finger without being guilty of a major sin, both of them, for him to touch her, for her to allow him to put the ring on? These are things that are clearly prohibited, unfortunately, again, because of lack of iman and fear of Allah and ignorance of the laws. We find that so many families today, they have totally no regard for this law at all. So these type of things actually should in fact be completely avoided. A wedding ring, there is no sunnah of a wedding ring in Islam. Islam does not say that, you know, when you perform marriage or nikah, then one of the sunnahs of marriage is you must start wearing a ring. That the bride must put on a ring. The bridegroom must put on a ring so that, you know, they fulfill a sunnah of nikah. That is not, there's no such a sunnah, there's no such a practice that is sanctioned in Islam. I'm saying not because suddenly somebody might not hear the not, Maulana. Then they'll get into a knot and they'll just go in rings and circles then.
So, and also, Mufti Saab, on that note, many ladies say the reason we want our husbands to wear a ring is to show the world that they are taken.
Yeah, sure. any case, Maulana, the thing is, there is no significance in Islam for a wedding ring. That's what we're trying to say. Yes. Islam does not say that you're not allowed to wear a ring. Islam does not say that you could not be given a ring as a gift at the time of wedding. But it's not a requirement. That is what is important for us to understand. So if you didn't wear a ring, or you chose not to wear a ring, it's absolutely absolutely permissible not to do so, and if you chose to wear it, it is also permissible. But as long as there's no underlying belief attached to it, some people have the belief that, you know what, the ring will sort of enhance the love between the couple. All that is all absolute nonsense. It's got no basis at all. You know, they say that today, leave alone the ring on the finger, husband and wife are most of the time in the boxing ring.
So
boxing and fighting with each other.
Yes.
So, it's not, we're not saying it's not allowed, but there should be no significance attached to it. And of course, there's the tradition of the band and then the ring, and the ring has to have the stone on it and so on. Those are permissible things, but it's not something that one should fuss about, and, you know, it's not something to give so much of importance to. So that is as far as the issue of wedding ring, engagement ring, we've covered that aspect. I think, Maulana, we are almost coming to the end of the program. The ladies, as we explained earlier on, just to reiterate, that it is makruh and it is prohibited actually for them to wear rings made from anything other than gold and silver. They are allowed to wear gold rings as well. They're not allowed to wear anything else other than gold and silver. Gold is allowed for them, for men it's not allowed. Silver is allowed for both men and women. As far as wearing rings made of iron, brass, copper, lead, plastic, glass, perspex, platinum, palladium, all the other metals and substances, it will not be permissible for women to wear as well. And the basis for that is the narration that we had mentioned earlier on. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not allow for any other ring to be worn other than the silver ring in the case of men. And for women in the Sharia, it is allowed for them to use gold as they can use silver.
Mr. Jazakumullah for the insightful program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. And we hope to speak to you next week also, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.